I've seen the Joshua tree, got down on my knees through the Virgin Mother of Prayer. I walk glass barefooted, stroll across the devil's high cold. I've tried everything, I swear. But hey,
the Valley Rise Show. Very good morning right here with Gonzo on ESPN Fresno. Go and download the app ESPN Fresno. Go and check out the website, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Go and follow us on social media, ESPN Fresno. I feel like you have heard the trend. The trend is ESPN Fresno. Okay, so very good morning. Hour one of the show, right off the top of the hour. Let's give you a quick little temperature check before we get to our esteemed guests coming up here in a few moments. 67 degrees currently in the city of Fresno, California. 104 is the expected high today. 66 is the overnight low. Here over the weekend, 106 and 107. Monday, 108. It's going to be hot all of next week, over the 105 degree weather temperature. So make sure you're staying as cool as possible. I know sometimes it isn't very possible. Stay as cool as possible. Someone who has stayed cool, I don't think he's stayed cool. He had a really big jump in energy and then he cooled down, but he's now been cool. And he stays cool because I think the New York Knicks NBA championship is going to last him at least the next 2 years. His name's Gus. Gus, good morning to you.
Good morning, buddy. I still got like 2 more years of buffer zone with the Knicks, so I'm good. I'm good. You can't hurt me.
How long does a comb over take? Like, how long does a comb over actually like last you?
You know what's crazy is this is the first time with the Knicks I've ever had this experience, so I don't know. I have no idea. Hopefully forever, because it's a weird feeling to have a team. Usually when a team wins a championship, you're like, oh, we could do this maybe 3 of the next 4 years. The Knicks, you didn't feel like that. Even going into the finals, they were the underdog. So there's, I don't know if this feeling will ever come back, but at this point, it hasn't left yet. So I'm all good.
Yeah, I don't know how long it took me when the Braves won the World Series in 21. That was my first time getting to experience a Braves World Series. Kind of crazy. Year I was born was the year they won their last one. Kind of find my trend because the San Francisco 49ers also won their last one in and around the year I was born. So go figure on that. I don't recall if it took, but I think at least 1 year. I think for me, what ruined it was the Dodgers then eliminate. Like it was just, I guess, the Dodgers doing something to the Braves right after that, where Freddie Freeman left, and that ruined everything.
Well, let's be honest. I can be as happy about it as I can, but when we get the playoffs next year, am I going to calmly take a loss if it happens? No. No, there'll be F-bombs flying, but, look, again, 53 years, I have never seen it, I've never experienced it, and I've never walked through the city watching people just nod at each other like, yeah, we'll do it tonight, tonight's tonight. You're like, what the hell's going on?
What about Jalen Brunson, Gus? Like, Jalen Brunson, I saw this video of him, just walking straight into a nightclub bar, whatever it was, and Michael Porter Jr. Was giving his name at the table while Jalen Brunson got to walk in through without even acknowledging anybody. Everybody's like, what's up, Mr. Brunson? Like, is that what he gets to do in New York City from now on?
For the rest of his life, yes. For the rest of his life, he could walk around like a mob boss in a freaking robe through New York City every day for the rest of his life if he wants. And it's not just because of the championship. I mean, you got to put in the fact that, one, he was the man referred to as the captain. He was the leader of that team. He did it at 6-1, which was insane. He put us over the top in any game we needed him to put us over the top, with the exception of that OT tip-in, and even that was still a lot of Brunson. I mean, but really, giving up $100-something million, leaving that on the table so you can go pay everybody else around you. One, may have started a trend, which didn't make NBA very happy. But outside of that, I don't know what else you could do to endear yourself to a city than to leave $100 million on the table and that end up leading to a championship immediately.
Man, yeah. I can't imagine the love he gets in that city. Like you say, like a mob boss just gets to walk in anywhere and wherever he wants. He's that guy. Like, what is, give me another star, another athlete that got that treatment outside of maybe obviously basketball. Is it a Derek Jeter type treatment? Is it any other kind of player that might have been treated that way? Or is this very special because the Knicks are just different because they haven't won it as often?
You know, Jeter is a great example. I was trying to run through that in my head, and it's hard to come up, really. It is a very, very short list. I mean, Messier made won a championship. He ended a 50-something year drought as well, and he predicted it going into that last game. That was insane. Messier will always have some sort of extra status in New York, especially among hockey fans, for that reason. But still, that doesn't bring it. Now, Jeter's a different animal because Jeter led that just dominance for over a decade. I mean, and there was nothing in his past where you're like, oh, remember when he did that? Remember when they found four hookers in his closet? Like, that never happened with him. Hmm. So he was always classy. It was annoying as a Mets fan because he was good and classy, and he kept that up his whole career. So he has kind of a regal status that would be hard to touch. Brunson is... It's in its own category because it's still just the level and the complete surprise. I mean, the Yankees dominate, and Jeter was one of a group, but he was a leader of a group, but he was a leader of a group that dominated for a decade. Going into the finals, we were underdogs. You know, so, I mean, nobody saw this coming at all. It was insane. So, I mean, it's a very, very unique category that maybe Jeter's the closest that you can throw in there.
We're talking with our guy Gus. He joins us every single Friday, top of the hour, top of the show, as we get through just conversation. The LeBron James sweepstakes come to an end, and well, lucky for Miami, they had nothing else to do with it. Like, Now, if you're the intern who hit that press conference, you know, button on social media, I don't know if Pat Riley's going to be talking to you anytime soon. I know people joked about them posting the jobs. I went in and was like, let me double check. No, they didn't post the jobs. But if you're Pat Riley, obviously there's going to be a small part of you that thinks maybe we would have got him if it weren't for that dang post link, and it made LeBron go, well, I want to make my decision my way, and it drove him to Philadelphia.
I can't imagine that's what it was, although still I'm sure that leak pissed off people, and I fell for it, because if I remember correctly, during the first LeBron decision when he went to Miami, there was a couple of leaks of him like, I still don't know. Meanwhile, they like booked a room in some Miami hotel, and you're like, you don't know? Like, well, of course you know. So that's first of all, the whole LeBron thing is a little annoying to me in the aspect of, I'm not a big fan of anybody telling other people when they should retire, when they should stop playing. Look, these guys are in a unique situation. If Michael Jordan wants to retire and go play baseball, you don't get opportunities like that for most people. Go take it. Play as long as you can. Because once you leave, usually you can't come back and be the same guy. I get all of that. The thing that annoys me is the diva aspect of, like, is he in next year? Is he and Aaron Rodgers just going to get a two-bedroom cave that during the offseason they can go hang out in for a little while? And basically, there's this element of, I'm going to figure out where I'm going to go, which is fine, but it's but let me make sure everybody talks about it for at least 2 weeks first. You're like, what are you doing? Just make the announcement. You're 41. The whole league is not going to turn based on whatever you do. We'll talk about it and then move on. But they love the drama. And I don't even know really why he left L.A. other than he knows he's not going to win there and the West is going to be a mess. I mean, he did leave in a hurry. He left his son there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Ronnie's still in L.A. But I don't blame him for going to Philly. I don't think there was ever a chance he was going to Cleveland, not because of anything other than why in the world would he go to a team without a dominant center and he has to deal with Harden's defense? There's no way he's going to do that.
Yeah.
He is not going somewhere where he has to explain to Harden that there's two parts of basketball. So that's not happening. I wanted to see him go to Golden State because, you know, two players of that caliber at that age would be fun to watch.
That's what I thought was going to happen, Gus. Like, I saw the negatives in Cleveland. James Harden was the negative. I think there's no doubt about it. The negative to Miami for me was also the fact that him and Giannis wouldn't play well together. All they would do probably all game long is try to get into a pick and roll, and that is it. Like, I don't see any other offensive positioning there in Miami if they were going to play together. It just felt like Golden State was, to me, the stronger of the fits because, man, if you get LeBron, and maybe LeBron didn't want to get compared to Kevin Durant, didn't want to get compared to any of, like, he's already a ring chaser for many with this decision to go to Philadelphia, but, like, I was hoping he went to Golden State as well.
You know, it's funny you bring up Durant because not that anybody needs to crap on Durant's decision anymore after all this time, but it is incredible that it just keeps getting pointed out why and how athletes look at a decision like that. LeBron, for the first time, seems like he literally wanted to go to New York, figuring, you know what, I'm going to go here and have a chance to end this crazy long drought in a basketball-loving city. This will be so cool. They're close. The second they won, that whole option changed. Mostly went away unless they begged him to come, which they weren't going to do. But that option went away because he looked at it and went, I don't want to go join the team that just won. There's nothing to do but either look like you're ring chasing or, you know, it's not a good look. And then you go back and you go, that's exactly what Durant did in an even more extreme case. That's why it looked so bad. Like, what are you doing? But, I mean, so LeBron looked like he literally was going to New York and, you know, I don't know if that would have put him over the top either. And I think Philly really is his best bet. I still don't know why Boston sent Jaylen Brown over there for almost nothing other than an escape clause for Paul George, for them to get out of Paul George's contract, which was, I still don't understand the benefit for Boston for any of that. But Philly's starting five is insane. Now, are they going to blend together? I don't know. And are they going to stay healthy? I mean, LeBron, again, he's missing more time every year. So, and what happens once they have to go to the bench? That I also don't know. But, man, that starting lineup until game three when Embiid gets hurt is really an impressive-looking lineup.
It is. Now, Jaylen Brown wanted to be option number one. Is now what? Option number three? Option number four at times on the court with everybody out there. I'm with you. I think health is going to play the biggest part in all of this. Whose legacy gets hurt more or whose legacy benefits more? Is it Joel Embiid? Is it LeBron James? Because for me, I foresee them needing Jaylen Brown to play like the one, but not actually be the one. And there's so many variables to me to this team. Specifically, the Embiid variable is, can he even last you an entire season?
No, I mean, and that's a big thing with him is I don't think he can last an entire season. But now with this many options, you don't need to rely on them like they used to. So, I mean, that's huge. The fact is you, if you can rest that guy 20 games a year and still have four good scoring options on the floor, that's a hell of a change. I mean, that's a big difference. But you bring up Jaylen Brown being the one without being the one. This is an interesting team with ego. I don't think Maxey is going to have a problem with it. I don't think, you know, those youngsters are. Clearly, Jaylen Brown has some issues with whether I'm the man or I'm not the man. LeBron James keeps saying, you know, I'm too old and somebody else has to take the mantle. but seems a little upset if the mantle is taken without somebody okaying it with him first, which is also a little annoying. So, if they're all healthy, I would love to see how that comes together a little bit. I mean, I think Embiid will love having LeBron there. I think he loves it. I think that will be great for him, and he doesn't have to be the man anymore as far as talking to people. I think he's going to love having somebody else, more of a veteran there with him. But, you know, after you get to that starting five and how long they're all going to last and stay healthy, I don't know. But then once you get to the bench, I don't even know who's on there.
Yeah, with the 76ers team, I sat there and I thought exactly what you said, which is his starting lineup is going to be great. How does that supporting cast kind of look behind? And then I kind of sat there a little longer and thought, well, someone is going to that supporting cast from that starting five. I don't know if that starting five is going to stay exactly intact. Now, going, straying a little bit away here, Gus, because I don't know the area. I don't know New York, and I don't know Philadelphia. But LeBron James planning on living in New York City and commuting every day to Philadelphia. How can you give that a comparable, something comparable to me to understand Philadelphia to New York on a travel every single day?
Yeah, do you want to go to LA every day?
Absolutely not.
No. Now, here's the thing. LA from Fresno, that trip never bothered me until I got about 20 miles away from LA. And then the last 3 hours somehow had to hit from that point. I'm like, I don't understand how I got all this distance in an hour, and it's going to take me another 2 hours to go the last 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But still, yeah, that's basically what you're looking at. The only difference is when you're LeBron, you don't worry about traffic. You fly over the traffic. So it's not going to be that much of an issue, other than the slight insult to the city of, nice city, I'll live near it.
How do you think Philadelphia people are going to take in through that? That LeBron is I think, as a businessman, is making the decision to live in New York City. But as a fan base, do Philadelphia people are proud. Do they care? Do they not care? Will they care? If this team wins, I don't think they care. That's the very clear thing.
That's what you hit right there. If they win, they're not going to even, they'll never talk about that ever. But if they lose, please, they'll make fun of everything they can. They'll make fun of his home, his commute, Bronny. They'll make fun of anything. It's Philly. So that's a hard fan base to please in the first place. And it's even harder to keep them happy. You can be great for a few years, suck for 1 year, and they're going to throw you a snowball at your head. So, you know, that is what it is, but I don't think they'll care as long as they do well. But it is definitely something for their newspapers to go, what the, assuming there are still newspapers, to go, what the hell? What is he doing? Like, he came here and you're telling me he can't find a man that rich, can't find a nice neighborhood to live in? Like, that's nuts. But, and I don't even think it's business decisions. Like, what is LeBron doing that he has to be in New York? Is he got to open his bodega shop? No. What is he doing? He's not doing anything. He makes a phone call with whatever he has to do. He just wanted to live in New York. I think he planned on actually going to the Knicks, and then all that changed, and he was like, nah, crap, close enough.
I don't think you're wrong. I definitely don't think you're wrong. I think that even in the last free agency decision when he picked Los Angeles, he was really close to going to New York.
Yeah. I mean, look, the thing is people, look, even when Durant and what's-his-face over there, Kyrie, even when they went over to the Nets, they used the Knicks as a bargaining chip because people still believed everyone wanted to go to the Knicks because it's, you know, the Mecca. They love to call it the Mecca for a reason. But fact is for 15 years, it was a laughing stock. That's all it was used for. It was just a negotiating chip. They knew they would overpay. They knew they can use that to drive up salaries for other people. They can get some sort of bidding war going. But no player, no top player wanted to go to the Knicks, except for the occasional guy who was convinced he can turn it around. Amari Stoudemire was great for trying to do that. But outside of that, there was not a destination. And now, all of a sudden, it's a destination, and we really don't need them, which is a great feeling.
Yeah, it's It's an interesting thing because nowadays, now today, it's a weird parallel for me. But the favorite soccer team I like to watch that I watch with my dad, Mexican League soccer team, Chivas. They're the most popular team. Combining the U.S. and Mexico, it's a very, 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 very popular team. And over the last 10 years, I would say 3 years ago and over the last 10 from there, players constantly didn't want to come play for Chivas. They wanted to, but they didn't. And it would take those crazy guys that thought they could help turn one of the most successful and most like traditional fan bases. Like, they thought they were going to be able to change things. They never were. And in recent time, now this team is good. Now this team has some future. Now you're seeing players say, oh, most popular team playing well? Yeah, I want to play there. That's the most fun I will have. That seems to be the New York mind right now is like, hey, we're going to be able to get who we want because not only do we have the city, but now we have the basketball franchise that is actually competitive and seems like it's going to be competitive for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, look how much that's exactly it. And I mean, look how much the Knicks had to overpay to get anybody for a while. I mean, heck, even to get Brunson, who had ties to New York, even to get him here, the Knicks were like, all right, we're not only going to offer you a bunch of money, but we're also going to hire your dad. I mean, that's what we were doing. You're like, does your mom need a job? Who needs a job? We'll give everybody a job. Just come on over. That's what the Knicks had to do. Now, no. I mean, it's great to see it turn around. I mean, but again, it's hard to turn around the franchise when most of the fan base can't stand the owner. So, you know, in this case, it takes sometimes over 50 years for that to happen. But we will take it.
The San Francisco 49ers had themselves a little bit of a moment earlier this week and as well as just late last week. First, the news. I said this on my coworkers on Behind the Bench, Phil Bonatti's show later on today, 3P to 6P. But I said it on his show yesterday, and it was, hey, you know, there hasn't been a lot of Deebo Samuel conversation out there. I think he might sign with the San Francisco 49ers, especially if this Ricky Pearsall, news is reality, which is Ricky Pearsall might be missing all of 2026, 2027. They signed Deebo Samuel yesterday. Dude looks like he is in the best shape of his life. I think one of the best shapes he's been in, even in a 49er uniform. Ricky Pearsall not going to be there, but you get Mike Evans, you get a guy like Deebo Samuel. Wishful thinking would have been hopefully a Brandon Ayuk is coming back. That's not going to be the case. But at least if you're the San Francisco 49ers, you can have some sort of a sigh of relief, maybe, that you're bringing in a guy that knows how to play Shanahan football. And if you're the San Francisco 49ers, even with Pearsall injury, with Christian Kirk getting injured a little bit, just James as well in there, they just seem to be bitten by the injury bug. We'll get to the other one shortly, which is the head coach. But Deebo Samuel coming back to the San Francisco 49ers with Mike Evans in that room seems to be a really good spot for the 49ers.
I mean, that was a huge pickup, especially with, you know, them. Clearly, Ayuk's not coming back. They lost a lot of their weapons offensively over the last few years. And even people that are there don't seem to be what they were. But, as long as McCaffrey is healthy, honestly, and there are some people to throw to, Mike Evans, I think, was a huge pickup. Because if Deebo Samuel had to be your number one, that team is screwed. Deebo can look as good as he wants. What was the last guy this stage in his career after multiple down years suddenly bounce back to his elite self from earlier on? I mean, chances of that happening are not good, but we've seen Shanahan get the most out of offensive players all the time. So if Deebo is not great, but good or very good, he's going to get a lot out of him, especially since he doesn't have to be the number one. I mean, Mike Evans is just quietly might not even be true, but I mean, pretty much understated for a guy who has been consistently that good every year. So that's a huge target for them to have, because, again, that team, I think the days of that team dominating are gone. But if McCaffrey stays healthy and, you know, somebody, they can get a driver for their coach, then, you know, that team can make a lot happen.
It's going to be interesting. It definitely is going to be interesting, especially if Christian Kirk can actually not be severely injured and is able to come back. I think that wide receiving room is going to look good, especially with George Kittle, all that potential. Kyle Shanahan, though, he was in an accident, and he has not been a part of training camp as of yet. He's still dealing with the severe concussion that he endured. So just kind of a little quick breakdown of the timeline. So we find out that Kyle Shanahan was in an accident middle early part of July. And we find out he had the accident because he was not going to be present at the first training camp session that the San Francisco 49ers were going to have. And media was going to be able to see that. So questions were going to be asked. So the 49ers were then forced, I think, to report on the accident of Kyle Shanahan. Then this thing kind of builds out. Everything that can happen on social media happens. And then Kyle Shanahan comes in and actually, you know, calls in media members into his office to explain he was at fault. The accident was his fault, that the phone slipped off his lap into the side seat there. He bent down to pick it up. He swerved into the next lane, and he caused the accident. But Kyle Shanahan, it just seems like the San Francisco 49ers cannot win on the injury front. Even their head coach is now injured going into the season.
You know, if this would be the worst injury that they have all year, they're going to be all right. But honestly, between, you know, McCaffrey is 85% duct tape. Christian Kirk, who I love, I think, when he's playing, the problem is he's hurt all the time. So it's just, we got some guys that are just always seemingly injured, and that's, you know, that is a problem. Now, the coach, I do like the fact that he said, hey, that's my fault. It's not her fault. It's definitely my fault. Now, would he be doing that if everything didn't have to come out or get forced out? I don't know. Hopefully he is okay. Obviously, you know, health is way more important than football. But, you know, I mean, look, it's, he wasn't driving drunk. There's not a lot to, you know, he doesn't need excuses for it. Things happen. But, you know, fortunately, it wasn't like they found a giant bottle of vodka sitting next to him or anything. That would be a way bigger issue you'd have to deal with. So hopefully he recovers pretty well. And, you know, again, as long as they stay healthy with that coach, you know, as long as he can get healthy, they can beat almost anybody. I just think their days of dominance are gone.
Yeah, I agree. I think the dominance might be gone, but I say that with the, if the San Francisco 49ers are able to continue to build around a guy like Brock Purdy. Now, I didn't magically leave for 2.5 years, come back, and I'm magically a Brock Purdy guy. I think on one of the final shows before I left, I said Brock Purdy will not win a Super Bowl as a San Francisco 49ers starting quarterback. I don't know if I fully stand behind that that opinion as of now, just because I'm obviously hoping that they do win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy as their quarterback. But looking at it from that structure, this is a decent team. I don't think they're bad. But when you're playing inside the NFC West and your opponents are the Rams and the Seahawks, defending champion Seattle Seahawks, and they don't seem to be getting worse anytime soon, and hey, maybe the Rams are going to get an Aaron Donald who walks into the door at whatever cost he ends up costing the Rams. Like, this is a tough, outside of the Cardinals, this is a really tough three-man division.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't, look, I expect a slight step back. Well, I shouldn't even say a step back from Seattle. The fact is I didn't expect them to win the Super Bowl. So I expect them to be just under that tier. And obviously, you know, that was they were good enough to get past the Rams and get past anybody else they needed to get past, although still a little surprised by all of that. Good for Sam Darnold. But I can't see. I mean, the Rams, and again, picking with football, it's so hard because staying healthy for the entire season for all your key players is such an enormous part of all of this. But the Rams, you felt like should have done it last year. My one thing with the Rams is I continue to expect some sort of slide from Devontae Adams. Like, Stafford, for some reason, I don't know if Stafford ages. I feel like he aged to a point, and then he just stays there. That's where he is now. And he'll be there until he retires, and then he'll age 10 years in 1 year. That's what we got out of Matthew Stafford. If you give him one receiver with a good matchup, he'll hit him 30 times in a game. I got all the faith in the world in him. Their coach is great. But I keep expecting Devontae Adams to have some backslide, and I keep underrating Puka as well. In fantasy, I never wanted Puka. I'm like, sooner or later, someone's going to stop him. He's small. No. They keep figuring out ways. They have weapons. As long as Stafford stays healthy, and my God, if they can get Donald back, because get Myles Garrett in that mix. I mean, I thought they were winning it last year without Myles Garrett. Now, you're going to add that in? I mean, that I would say seems unfair, but again, in football, getting through a whole season healthy is probably the hardest thing of anything. So, but man, if they can stay healthy and if they can get Aaron Donald back, that'll be a fun team to watch.
Well, especially having a guy like Matthew Stafford on your team, as tough as nails, I will say that. I'll preface my comment. He is one of the toughest sons of you-know-what out there. We've seen it time and time again, but the dude gets hurt. He gets hurt a lot. And I'm interested to see if any of anything that happens throughout this season. Again, they have a really good running back room. Kyron Williams has been really good. Their wide receiving room really good. You look at that defense, their DBs, secondaries is not terrible. That's actually pretty good. And then you have that defensive line that can be the best spot of this team. Again, if Aaron Donald comes back, it's going to be insanity to have Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald. I don't care if he's been gone for 2 years. The dude was always an insane human being out on the field. So with that, I agree with you. I also think that Seattle is a team that would quote unquote regress just because they're not going to win a Super Bowl, I don't think, this year. And I think people will have a little better of a dynamic on how to defend that team. The NFC West is just going to be fun. Arizona, I don't know what they're doing. None of their draft picks are competing right now for starting positions. And they're a team that is projected to win under 3 games. So, like, under 4 games. So, like, I don't get it. How do you have a terrible roster but don't have playing time to give to your 2026 NFL draft picks? That's insanity to me for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, that should be costing somebody their job. I mean, look, they might be, I understand looking at the rest of the division and saying, we're not there, we're not close to there. Let's not waste resources to get some really strong players that will just, just linger here until we continue to lose. So I understand that. So if you're going to just do a full reboot, then do it. If you got to do all that, then do it. But again, then you got to come with the youth. You got to come with your young players. And the crazy thing is they didn't feel like they were that far off not too long ago. You know, they had a tight end to throw to. They had a young stud of a wide receiver. You felt like their quarterback until suddenly that story came out about the fact that they didn't really want to sign him because they wanted him to chill out on his video games. And you're like, what the hell's going on over there in Arizona? And then, I mean, it's never been the same after that fracture. Now, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but once all that leaked about them not wanting to sign him necessarily to an extension unless he agreed to all these other things, which sounded kind of crazy, but on the other hand, I'm sure there's a reason they wanted to put it in, then, all of a sudden, that team has never been the same. Never. The quarterback was never the same until they shipped him out. I mean, none of that. It was bizarre because that team did not feel like they were heading towards a complete meltdown, and then they did. So at this point in time, if you're looking at a division that's way better than you, I get having to restart everything over. But like you just said, then start over with the youth. What are you doing?
We're talking with our guy, Gus. He joins us every single Friday, top of the hour. And Gus, pivoting here, Fernando Mendoza, he is not going to be the starter, obviously. I think it's Kirk Cousins. I think everybody knows it's going to be Kirk Cousins. But I got to talk to Keon Myers earlier this week. And Keon was talking about the Raiders training camp opening up on Wednesday. And I will tell you, I've never felt... I am a Raider hater. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows I will take every opportunity possible to poke fun at the Las Vegas Raiders, at the Nevada Raiders, right? And with that, I say this. I am feeling really weirdly comfortable with what they're doing in Las Vegas for this upcoming season. It just feels like they understand they're not going to win a ton of football games, but they're going to be competitive in football games. And what they're preparing for is the next couple of years, not just this year. I don't know what it is, but I'm liking what I'm seeing out of the Raiders. And finally, what seemingly is building a competent front office team and everybody, like, they're going away from just being, this is the Raider way, to saying this is the new Raider way. This is the new way we do things. We're leaving the old stuff in the past.
Well, let's be honest. First of all, what was their choice? Look how bad they were last year. I mean, that was insanely bad. So bad that the Jets said, let's go get that quarterback. But that's another topic altogether. But it was so bad. I mean, Geno Smith, like Brock Bowers, all of that. Like, they had some pieces. You thought the running back was going to change some stuff. Obviously, he can only do so much by himself. But, oh my God, was that team bad last year. So, you look at what they got now, and now they have a brand-new quarterback, a brand-new young quarterback. I'm not talking about, obviously, Kirk Cousins. Nothing brand-new about him at all. But I understand starting him. Because
yes, there is. He's a brand-new team, Gus. He's on a brand-new team.
Yeah, choose your words better. That is not brand new, and Kirk Cousins shouldn't be in the same sentence unless he gets a brand new car. That's it. Outside of that, no. But, I mean, I got nothing against him. It's a good move to bring him in, let him start, because you're not in a rush. You got your guy, and look, I'm sure Mendoza doesn't want to sit there and watch for too long, but he's not going to have to. They don't think that, nobody thinks Cousins is going to suddenly lead this team to a playoff run. So you've got your two young pieces. Start them off slow. You got more than two young pieces. If you add Brock Bowers in there, start them off slow. You've got some good pieces and start filling in around them, which is a lot better than the, you know, hey, we're the Raiders. We're just going to go buy somebody or find somebody and pretend that we're good again. Like that, it doesn't turn that quickly when you're as bad as you've been for as long as you've been. So, you know, I don't generally root for any sort of Tom Brady success, and I know he's over there now, but at this point, they seem to be doing it right. They seem to be doing it in the steps that they should be doing it and not trying to quickly speed up. So, good for them.
We're talking with our guy, Gus. Yeah, if there's someone I want Fernando to be sitting, waiting in the wings, is, I think, Kirk Cousins. He plays the game the right way. He studies it. He works at it. He's going to learn. We all know Mendoza probably has it. You can't be such a successful quarterback to this point unless you're Baker Mayfield, unless you're Johnny Manziel, without the chaos that surrounds at times. But Kirk Cousins, I think, is setting up Mendoza for a potentially successful career. And let's be honest, you much rather have, if you're the Raiders, Kirk Cousins take a beating behind that offensive line,
yes,
as opposed,
yes,
to Fernando Mendoza.
Yes, 100%. And also add in the fact that when you're talking about how Kirk Cousins is going to treat the youngster, I think Kirk Cousins in his last team was not ready to be the mentor. Kirk Cousins, yeah, on his last team was like, I'm the guy, and if you're trying to replace me, screw you. But in this case, he knows what his job is. He knows. Now, does any athlete at that level want to go in there and win the job and be like, oh my God, we can't take you out, you're so good? Yes. But they just picked the number one pick. He's sitting right there next to you. He knows what his job is. So I think he's going to approach this one a lot differently, and I think you're right. I think he's going to be good for the kid.
Gus joins us every single Friday, top of hour number one. And so, Gus, last thing for you here. What are you starting to look forward to the most of this NFL season? We're getting through training camps, you know, we're starting to get some of the news and notes. Actually, here's the last thing. I figured it out as I was going with this. I remembered something happened yesterday before I went to sleep, after I watched the new Spider-Man movie, but...
Oh, which I'm doing in about 2 hours, but go ahead.
There you go. I did it last night. Mistake, because I didn't go to sleep till past 10, but I did it last night. So Baker Mayfield doesn't get the contract in Tampa. He comes out and he just goes and rips into them. And he's like, look, hey, I get it. I know what they're doing. It's fine. I set my date. This is my date. We're not going past this. I'm just going to play ball. They're going to regret it even more moving forward. And he wanted to be part of the $50 million club. I can keep adding on to the things that Baker Mayfield said, but he doesn't get the contract. And now he's going to be playing for a new contract with probably a new team. In his mind. But what do you make of the Baker Mayfield saga in Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield believing, I don't believe, but he believes he's a $50 million at least a year quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I think that's probably always going to eventually be a problem for Baker Mayfield. Because, look, I will say I've been wrong-ish on him, but I think a lot of people have. When you look, he was in Cleveland. Cleveland let him go, and I remember him having a big hissy fit about them letting him go and going with somebody else. And to me, that always made sense, despite the fact in hindsight, Deshaun Watson was never good again. Somehow his football skills were massaged away, but he was never good again. But during that actual transaction, it made sense. You're like, they thought they were getting one of the best quarterbacks in the league, young best quarterbacks in the league. And not many people looked at Baker Mayfield and said, you're going to be the franchise quarterback over, at that point in time, Deshaun Watson. And he just freaked out as if, you know, as if he was a 15-year-old who just got broken up with. And you're like, dude, understand the business you're in. Understand these people are investing millions and millions and millions of dollars. Now, that being said, fast forward a handful of years, and he really did a phenomenal job with that team. I mean, there's times he's played hurt. There's times he's, you know, hasn't been great until the fourth quarter. But to his defense, he really has done a great job with that team, a lot better than I thought he would. And I can understand him being a little confused because they're telling him he's their franchise quarterback. And if you're telling him he's their franchise quarterback, then pay him like your franchise quarterback. I get all that. I understand why he's upset. The problem with me with Baker is that when he gets upset, he just starts lashing out at everybody. It's like, dude, you're still on that team. You're still supposed to be running that team. Stop standing there saying, I'm a $50 million guy. Like, just play the game. Let your agent do that talking and stop sounding like a jilted ex-boyfriend. It doesn't look good. It doesn't help his case. But I understand why he is upset because he's done everything the team has wanted. He's done it better than I think most people would have thought when they signed him that he was going to do. And they just don't, doesn't sound like they're anywhere close with their offer to what in his head he should be. And I'm sure in his head it's way higher than it should be, but that might also balance out with they're a lot lower than they probably should be offering him as well.
I think what irritates me is all of these middle tier quarterbacks believe they should be paid in the $50 million range. Like, it's just so obnoxious to me in the NFL how you can be a 15th good quarter, like a 15th best quarterback in the NFL, and be arguing because you're the starter of one of these franchises, very valuable franchises. But I think it's so stupid. It's just stupid to me for any GM to give these guys these kind of quarterbacks money is just asinine to me because you're not going to win anything. You're not winning a Super Bowl with him. I don't understand wanting to be 9-8, 10-7, 8-9. And the 10-7 year was his best year. He threw 41 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, led the NFL in interceptions. I'm not sitting here saying he's a bad quarterback. I personally think if you're the Tampa, like I get everybody, you know, insulting Tampa Bay because, you know, Baker's been that guy and brought leadership back when everybody thought, oh, Tom Brady's gone, Tampa Bay's going to fall off the face of the earth. But he's not a top seven, top eight, top nine quarter. He's not win, like he can win you some games in the regular season, but he's losing you those games in the playoffs. Like I don't look at Baker Mayfield as someone that I'm going to trust my franchise with. And it's not because of his leadership. It's just simply because of his skill.
Well, yeah, but now, look, that is all, look, that's very possible. I mean, that is very possible. He's a damn good quarterback. My problem with the one thing you said is that I think they could win a championship. They could win a Super Bowl with him. We've seen, look, Sam Darnold just won a Super Bowl. Don't tell me you can't win a championship with Baker Mayfield the way he has played. But here's the difference with what that statement and what Baker Mayfield is thinking is that you're not doing it if you're paying him $50 million. You can win a championship with Baker Mayfield if you have all the right pieces around him. You give him enough weapons. Okay, then maybe you got a shot. If you're using all of your money, and obviously that's not all of your money, but if you're using a lot of your money that you could spend on his teammates, and we just talked about Jalen Brunson earlier. That left $100 million on the table. Over $100 million on the table. And that money literally led directly to a championship by paying his teammates. Now, some of those teammates are also his roommates and friends, but still, that led directly to a championship. Baker Mayfield is saying, give me all the goddamn money, I'm your man. And you're like, yes. Now, there's some middle ground there between a two-year contract of, you know, a lot less, and hey, let's get closer to what you want and spend the rest on teammates. Yeah. That might be the way to go, but paying him as one of the top quarterbacks in the league is not winning you a championship. I agree with that.
I would see. I think that because of Sam Darnold, we have a skewed mindset on guys winning a guys winning Super Bowls because like he was what he was 28 last season. With the Seattle Seahawks, they went 14-3, and the year prior with Minnesota, they went 14-3. But I know we're old enough, Gus, to remember that last season there was many games where Sam Darnold had given up the game and that defense won the game. And so for me, it is if you're going to have one of these kind of guys as a quarterback, you're only going to be able to have them like these one of guys if you have a top three defense. If your defense is performing at a top three level and you're going to be able to get over the mistakes that these guys will make.
Well, that is the point. Can he win a championship? Yes. But you're going to need money to spend on other aspects of your team to make sure that you can cover all of that stuff. Now, if you're spending an insane amount of money on your quarterback and your quarterback is not the guy that's going to do that on his own, well, that's a problem. I mean, Sam Darnold, yes, he won a championship. Was everybody on his back? No. He had a wide receiver that caught everything within a mile radius, and he had a great defense and a great running game for when he needed it. So, yes, but those guys all need to get paid, including the defense, and you're not necessarily doing that if Baker's taking all the money.
Yeah, I'm a very big believer that the Seattle Seahawks just had everything go their way in the right time. Specifically, like you look at that Rams game and the Rams teams, Rams were better in those games. Yeah. And it isn't about who's better. It just is about who wins the game. Maybe I'm just so far gone on Baker that I don't know what it is. Gus, I appreciate you joining and talking and being a part of the show. You are very, very, I'm very, very thankful for your time.
I look forward to it, buddy. I'll talk to you next week with either a happy or sad review with Spider-Man.
Yeah, we'll definitely chat about that next week as I get my sleep back and I remember what I watched yesterday.
Thank you for not spoiling it for me. Hey. I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
You're welcome. Talk to you next week. That's our guy, Gus. He is awesome. He's the best. He joins us for almost a full hour on Fridays. He gives us his time, and we are very grateful for that. Take a break. We'll be back to close out the hour. You are listening to the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on your local sports leader. Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on your local sports leader. Good morning to all of you. Appreciate you for being here, being part of the conversation. That was almost an hour with our guy Gus. We are running out of time. We ran out of time here in hour number one. Coming up next, it is 7 at 7 coming your way. Stay right here. Don't you go anywhere. Download the app ESPN Fresno. Go to the website ESPNFresno.com or 1430ESPNFresno.com. Email me, Gonzo, at 1430ESPNFresno.com as well. Hour number two next. You're listening to the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on your local sports leader.